take your Bibles
and turn to the Gospel of Mark and chapter 9. I'm going to begin reading at verse 14 and read all the way through verse 29. And I'm not going to try to expound the entire passage. I'm just going to focus on one thought in the passage tonight. And that will be enough, I think, to feed us well and challenge us. In Mark chapter 9, beginning at verse 14, the Bible says, "And when He, that is the Lord Jesus, when He came to His disciples, He saw a great multitude about them, and the scribes questioning with them. And straightway all the people, when they beheld Him, were greatly amazed, and running to Him, saluted Him. And He asked the scribes, What question ye with them? And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit," which simply means that he could not talk. "And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth, and gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. He answereth him and saith, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. And they brought him unto him, and when he saw him, straightway the spirit tare him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. And he asked his father, How long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, Of a child. And oft times it hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Jesus said unto him, If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, Thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him and enter no more into him. And the spirit cried and rent him sore and came out of him. And he was as one dead, insomuch that many said, He is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he was coming to the house, his disciples asked him privately, Why could not we cast him out? And he said unto them, This kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. Now direct your attention to the confession and the plea of this distraught father there in verse 24. In verse 24, the Bible says that he cried out and he said with tears. And he, as he cries out, he confesses, Lord, I believe. But he also pleads for God to help his unbelief. So he's confessing he has faith, but he's confessing his faith is not very strong. He's saying, God, I've got faith, but I need more faith. And I think it's going to take a lot of faith to get what I need from you right here. Please, God, help thou my unbelief. So the man has faith, but he knows that he needs that his faith is weak and it needs to be strengthened. And I dare say that every believer is in this condition. We have faith. If we're believers in Christ, we have to have faith in order to be a believer, in order to trust Him for salvation. So, we as believers in Christ, we have faith, but at the same time, I don't think there's any believer that would say, my faith is as strong as it could be. I'd hope that there's no believer that would say, my faith is as strong as I want it to be. I hope that everybody cries out and says, Lord, I want a stronger faith. I want more faith. Increase my faith. Help thou my unbelief. I hope that's the prayer of every Christian. I know it's my prayer for myself. And I hope and pray that it's our prayer as a church body, and every individual to pray in that prayer. And I pray that tonight God would help us to see ourselves in this man. That's what I'm praying. God, help us to see ourselves in this man who says to the Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief. And that's what I want to focus on tonight. It's a rich, rich passage. Of course, all the Scriptures are rich. If you just dig in it deep enough, you'll hit a vein of truth along there, veins of truth in every passage that just will flip up. It will just feast your soul. Amen. And so here's a little vein of truth that I want us to think about. First thing I want you to notice this. This distraught man, he's a father, this distraught father, he obviously had faith because he said that he did. He said, Lord, I believe. Isn't that what he said? I believe. And so he is confessing that he has faith. And then also the fact that he brought his son to the disciples proves that he had faith. Because you notice in that 18th verse, he says this, he said, I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him, and that was that spirit of infirmity, that dumb spirit as it's called in the Bible here. He says, I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out. Now, if he did not have at least a little bit of faith, he would have never have ventured to bring his son to the disciples. He would have said, that'd be a waste of time. But the fact that he does that, it shows that he has faith. And not only that, but he does this publicly, which I think is a pretty strong evidence of his faith. He's kind of stepping out on a limb in the sense that he is risking being very embarrassed if his son does not receive what he's asking for the Lord to do by way of these disciples. The fact that he's asking that, he's bringing that boy there, it means he's got faith. I know on occasions I have dealt with people that profess to be atheists and tried to minister to them and reach to them. And I know of on one occasion I said to someone that I knew was an atheist, I said, would you mind if I prayed for your loved one? Would you mind? And they said, well, you can do whatever you want to, but it's a waste of time. And I said, well, if you don't mind, I'm going to pray. He said, well, go ahead, but it's a waste of time. He said, there's nothing to this. And I can't believe that a man with your education would be foolish enough to believe in a God. He said, it's no more than Santa Claus. It's just a myth. You see, somebody like that, it doesn't matter how low they get or how low their loved one gets, they're not going to speak from the people of God, the men of God, or anyone else related to God, an intervention of God, are they? But this man, he comes and he does so publicly, and he brings his son to these men of God, these disciples, and he says, I need help. And so all that tells me that this man did have faith. And all of that, but it tells me that this distraught father's faith, it was a faith that had apparently or obviously to me, it had been growing. Because when you look at verse 21, when the Lord arrives on the scene, and this man tells him, he says, you know, I went to your disciples, and they could not help me. And the Lord asked him this question in verse 21, how long is it ago since this came unto him? Now that must have cut that man to the heart. That must have cut him to the heart. My boy's been like this. My boy's been like this. And he replies, he says, of a child. And so his son had been in this condition since he was just a little boy. And now how old he is, I don't know whether he was a junior, teenager, or a young man. But the boy's been dealing with this for a long time. And finally, this father, his faith has grown, and it's grown slowly. But it's finally grown to the point that he says, I'm going to go to the men of God and I'm going to seek help. It didn't happen immediately. His faith is growing there. The desperation is building, and with the desperation, his faith is growing. And so his faith has been growing. And you look at verse 18, It's interesting there. The Bible says that the boy, he foameth and gnasheth with his teeth. And the Bible says, and pineth away. The idea of pining away means this. The boy's condition is slowly getting worse and worse and worse. And so here's this man. At some point, his boy is just a little child. He starts having these symptoms. And there's no telling what the man tried. He might have just at first assumed it's this is just a little quirk or something the boy's going through. It'll be something to be he'll outgrow. Realizing after a while it was not something he's going to outgrow. Perhaps he began seeking help from therapists and psychologists and medical doctors and so forth. You know, that's the way we do it. Average person do it in our day and age. And the boy's just getting worse and worse and worse and worse. Now, as this boy's faith is condition is worsening, this father's faith is growing. You see, the desperation of the father nurtured his faith. And it's sad in a sense that oftentimes that's what it takes to grow our faith. But it's good that God can use our desperations to build our faith to a point that we're willing to go out on a limb with God. Amen? And so this man, he's finally reached a point, you know, I see him, I've been a believer for years, and my boy's getting worse and worse, and I've tried everything else. And I've reached a point now where I God's my only hope, and his faith rises up and says, I'm going to go to God. I'm going to take my boy to the Lord. And so his faith is there, and his faith has been growing. And that's the way it is with all of us. Our faith grows. It grows, or it decreases day after day after day. It's never stagnant. And I tell you what, it will stagnate and decrease a lot faster than it will grow, as a general rule. This man's faith, it's obviously taken a while for it to grow. But now his faith's grown to that point where he dares to go to the disciples and say, I need the help of God. I need the help of God. So, he's got faith, and it's a faith that's been growing for apparently several years. And then the next thing is this, the distraught father's faith, it was being assaulted. Now that his faith is growing to the point where it is dangerous to the devil, right? It's dangerous to this evil spirit that's in this boy. Now the father's faith is going to be severely assaulted. The devil's going to do his best to tear that man's faith back down before that it reaches a point where that God responds to it and intervenes. Now, his faith is being assaulted in different ways. First of all, the father's faith was being assaulted by the failure of the disciples to heal his son. In verse 18, he says this to the Lord. He said, I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him, that is, that evil spirit, that they should cast him out. And they what? They could not. They could not. He's obviously heard about how these disciples have been out preaching and had the power of God on them so that they could perform all sorts of miracles. In fact, let's see, back up to chapter 6. Chapter 6. And in chapter 6, just pick up at verse 12 here. And notice this, the Lord is sending these same men out on a mission. And in chapter 6 and verse 12, it says, and they went out and preached that men should repent. And they cast out many devils and anointed with oil many that were sick and healed them. Now, they've been casting out devils. They've been anointing people with oil and seeing them healed. These men have been, I should not say performing miracles. That's a carnal way to put it, is it not? God, through them, has been working miracles. They have had faith to work these miracles. And this man has heard about this. And now his faith has grown to the point where he says, I'm going to take my boy to these men. I've heard about how that God has been doing miracles through these men. And I'm going to take my boy to him and ask him to to give me this miracle, healing, to cast this evil spirit out of my son. And he goes to these men who have an established reputation of doing exactly what he needs done for his son. And lo and behold, what happens? The disciples failed. The disciples failed. Now I'm going to tell you what. That was an assault of Satan on that man's faith. I've heard about how that they have been able to heal others. And now I come here and they can't heal my son. My faith, I can just imagine the devil whispering in his ear. Yeah, see, your faith was misplaced. Your faith, there's nothing to it. You build up a false hope. And I guarantee you this thing just hit his faith a blow. That why the devil is assaulting it. And not only was his faith being assaulted, this is just a side note, but the disciples' faith was being assaulted as well by their failure to heal this son. They've been performing miracles like this. And now all of a sudden, they can't do it. Do you not think that was an assault on their faith? What's happened? What's happened? Do we dare ever try this again? Do we dare do that? I mean, we failed. And not only have we failed, but we failed right out here in the midst of a crowd that is not friendly to us. A crowd that is against us. In fact, you look back at verse 14, it says, when the Lord came to His disciples, He saw a great multitude about them and the scribes questioning with them. That indicates to me, you know, the scribes aren't asking them questions to answer. They're questioning with them. It's like they're attacking them. Hey, you have a reputation for being miracle workers. Why couldn't you heal this guy? Why couldn't you do it that? And they're, by questioning them in this way, they're ridiculing them and they're belittling them among the people who were there, really not a friendly crowd at all. And so these disciples' faith, it's under attack as well. And then we see the father's faith was also assaulted by a final desperate attack of the devil in verse 20, because it says, "And they brought him unto him," that is the boy, "unto the Lord. And when he saw him straightway, that spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming." Now, here it is. All of a sudden, this guy, this young man, he just has another very severe attack. He falls on the ground, and he's wallowing in the dust, and he's foaming. He's probably gnawing at his tongue and so forth there. No telling what kind of sounds were coming out of this man. And right here in the presence of the Lord Himself. Now, if this man's faith had failed to influence the Lord and His disciples, I mean, if the devil's attacking right there in the presence of the Lord, this man's faith being, man, like, hey, I'm wasting my time. I brought him here to the Lord to heal him, and lo and behold, instead of him being healed, he's having another one of these attacks. And it looks like he's going to die right here. I guarantee you that was attacking his faith. And the Lord's standing there. He's standing there and he's letting this happen. And all the time this man's faith, you know what it's doing? It's being bolstered. It's either going to be destroyed or it's going to be built up. And in this case, it's building it up. And so right now it seems to me I could have tried to imagine myself in this man's shoes. The disciples have failed me. Here the Lord is Himself, and the devil's attacking my son right here in the presence of the Lord. I can imagine that his faith was at a pivotal point. It could very easily have collapsed on him at that time. And so the man, listen to what he cries out in verse 22. He says, "If thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us." He didn't say, "I know you can do anything, and if you're willing to do it, you can do it." He said, "If thou canst do anything." Whoa. There's doubt coming into his mind, is there not? If thou canst do anything, well, he can do everything. There's nothing he cannot do. But if thou canst do anything, that big if there, I tell you what, we never should pray to God, if you can do this, that, or the other. I might pray, Lord, I don't know if it's your will or not, and if it is your will, I ask you to do it. But you mark it down. Our faith is very weak whenever we say, if you can do this. And notice how the Lord replied in that verse 23rd verse. The man had said, if thou canst do anything, and the Lord said, if thou canst believe. All things are possible to him that believeth. So he says, the problem is not, can I do it? The problem is this, can you trust me to do it? The problem is, can you believe that I can do it? All things are possible because what? God can do all things. Everything's possible with the Lord. And anything the Lord can do, and I realize this, we qualify it by being in His will, and it was obviously His will to heal this man. He'd been healing others, and there's no reason to suspect that He could not heal this man. And so He says, the problem is not, can I do it? But the problem is, can you believe me to do it? And that's when the man cried out, Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief. That man needed help with his faith in order to get help for his son. He needed help with his faith in order to get help for his son. Faith. Now, let's try to apply it to our circumstances. Our community, and not only our community, but communities all across our country are pining away, are they not? They're just slowly deteriorating. And in many of our communities, they've deteriorated slowly, you know, and they keep getting a little bit faster, and now they have reached a point where they have, that snowball effect, where now it's just like, wow, they're going down fast. They're destroying themselves. And communities all across our country is like that. And our community, it has just been pining away. I've seen it. I've been here for 15 years. And I've seen Macon, Georgia pining away. I've seen it pining away. Just slowly, slowly going down, destroying. Oh, you say, well, what about this? What about that? What about the other? I'm talking about the moral climate. I'm talking about the spiritual climate of our community. Economically, it may be doing some better. I don't know. But I can tell you this, morally and spiritually, it's not. You can't hardly listen to the morning news for five weekday mornings without hearing somebody being shot in Macon, Georgia. I don't know if it's possible to listen that long. And you just get out and get among our community. You hear the filthy language and the people living like animals. It's disgusting. Our communities are pining away, and we seem helpless to do anything about it. Absolutely helpless to do anything about it. And what churches are basically doing is this: instead of standing, they're compromising in order to trying to get people into the churches. You know, hey, at least we get them into church. So what if they're living in sin? At least we got them in church. So, that's nothing to brag about. That's something to be ashamed of. That's something to mourn about. You got members in your church living in sin. That's something to mourn about. But we seem absolutely powerless to do anything about it. And so, we pray something like this, Lord, help them. Lord, help them. Lord, help them. God, help our community. Oh, God, help our community. And we pray, and it seems like it's to no avail. The world just kind of mocks us and laughs at us and goes on and ignores us. As I read this story, and I meditate on this story, the thought came to me, could it possibly be that instead of praying, Lord, help them, We need to pray, Lord, help us. Lord, help us. Lord, help our unbelief. And I think that's a great problem. Because if we'll listen to ourselves, if we listen to ourselves, talk about the circumstances in our community, talk about the circumstances in our nation, we listen to ourselves, do we sound like people that believe that God can give us revival? That God can get a hold of this community and shake it to its spiritual roots? Is that how we sound when we talk? More often than not, it's just the opposite, isn't it? It's, oh my. What are we going to do? Oh my. Oh my. God, please help this community. And we probably ought to be praying, dear God, help our unbelief. Dear God, help our unbelief. Please help our unbelief. That's what this man needed. He had a son that seemed like was hopeless. And in order to get help for his son, he had to confess the weakness of his faith and ask God to give him more faith. And when God did that, the man got help for his son. And I believe when if we seek faith, a stronger faith, that it may very well be that then God will be able to help do something in our community. Let us pray for more faith. Amen. Let's stand.